This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I'm going to blame Sue, mainly because she's not here to defend herself, but I'm starting the show in a rather disheveled way this afternoon.
Really? Is that news?
Yeah, that's true. I should just blame Ethan, though, don't you think? Because he's here. Just blame you. He's throwing a pen at me. Hi, Fred. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right as we get going here. It was a beautiful day. This is one of those days where Sue would have been out walking Forest Park or something like that. She's off for a few days. She'll be back on Thursday. And I know she'd be, I'm going to spend a little time on this later this afternoon, like in an hour. And during audio cut of the day, she'd be very sad. I communicated with her this morning because we are both immensely huge fans of the band The Mavericks. And Rahm Ahlo, who is the band leader and just a legend in music. You know, his story is great because he came here with his family from Cuba. Fred, I interviewed him 10 years ago. He did a special down in Havana, and he's just one of the best live performers ever. We had colon cancer, and my colleague Judith Anderson and I are both very big fans, and she has been informing me, you know, about his progress. And honestly, I just said something the other day. I was listening to John Mayer's station, and a song came on, and I said something to Becky. I'm like, man, I feel like we're going to lose Rahl here any day now. And he passed away at the age of 60 from colon cancer. Now, you know, I could do a lecture here on colon cancer screenings, but that's kind of what turned up the cancer is he had a screening. I don't know if he started the screenings when he was 50. Fred, I've told this story before, and, you know, I've had two screenings. I'm 60 now. But after I did that first colonoscopy, I was on Facebook. I'll never forget this because there was a girl that I had a big crush on in junior high, Diane Cotton, and she had, we're Facebook friends, right? She had a post up there about her father who had passed away like 10 years previously. And the point of her post was, you know, if he had had a routine colonoscopy screening, his life probably would have been saved. So I'm always on my friends who are over 50 to make sure that they do that because, you know, it didn't certainly work out this way for Rahm Ahlo, but, you know, in many cases, that early screening is going to perhaps save your life. So we'll get to that a little bit later. I have a little bit of a tribute plan for Rahl for audio cut of the day. I have some other good audio that I would like to share this afternoon. We'll do some of that right here. We have, we had a great conversation with Selena Zito yesterday, who is in Pittsburgh and in Pennsylvania. Obviously, wrote the book about Butler and the assassination attempt. She's pretty close with President Trump. It was pretty awesome, Fred. I played the audio when her grandkids were in the Oval Office. It was cool. But Selena's going to be there today. You know, he's going to make this stop in Pennsylvania on this affordability tour. Now, let me say a couple of things about this, because this is a significant issue, and the Republicans know that, and the polling is reflecting that. The affordability crisis issue, whatever you want to call it, I don't know how you can wave a magic wand and fix things. There are slowly some things that are working in our favor in the economy. Now, look, you got a couple of people out there saying, was it Bessent or somebody else that said, you know, we're going to get 4%, maybe even 4% growth in the fourth quarter? That would be astounding. I don't know that that's going to happen. That seems a little optimistic to me. But one of the points of this tour that he's going to go on is to try to communicate and message better with the American people about the economy. Because, again, and Fred, we all know this, if you shop, you know, some people I don't think are the shoppers. Are you the shopper, is Maria?
Oh, yes,
Cameron?
I am.
You're the shopper, so yeah. You get this. You know, and I was talking to my friend Rick Niner in Las Vegas this morning, and, you know, we're all at different, maybe a lot of people are at different socioeconomic levels, but it doesn't matter. You feel the increase.
My usual $80 a week Walmart run is now $110.
Yes. And I, you know, I love my Walmart in High Ridge, and it's the same thing where I could fill up my basket and I'd know it'd be $50 or $60. That's now $80 or right. $90. Now, you know, you make choices, and I don't remember ever really doing this, probably even when I was poor, like dirt poor when I started in radio, because I was always spending more money than I had. But I mean, I literally make, you know, decisions in real time at the Walmart or at the Schnucks, and I'm like, there's no way I'm paying for that, right? I can't even believe how expensive things have gotten. Well, President's been, you know, touting gas prices. Gas prices have been very low. Unfortunately, sometimes that's an economic signal that shows that the economy's not very strong. But look, there's no doubt that he has to get out there and get in front of this. Fred, you hear this because you monitor Fox, and Fred's the guy that pulls a lot of my audio. Can we just get through the end of the year without starting to talk about the midterms and all the implications? I'm going to make some of that mistake today when I talk to folks like Charles Lipson and some of our other guests. But my gosh, it's like we don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen next spring. In this past spring, we had the tariffs that kicked in, and there were all kinds of predictions when it came to us being in a recession by this point. All the experts are like, you know, the tariffs are terrible. Now, having said that, we're going to feature a conversation a little bit later in the show with Blake Hurst. Blake's awesome. He's one of our farming experts. He is a soybean farmer from Tarkio, Missouri. He's a crop farmer. And, you know, they unveiled this big program yesterday, $12 billion for farmers. There's some subsidies in there. I think the farmers are going to welcome this. But look, this is a large, large agricultural community across wherever, southern Illinois, across Missouri, Nebraska, you name it. The farmers backed President Trump, and he's done a lot of things that the farmers, I think, have appreciated. But these commodity prices are really low right now. And the other thing is, Fred, you know, this equipment, farming equipment is so damn expensive, right? So these farmers take out loans just like you would on a house, because a combine costs you more than $500,000. Hell, at this point, it might cost you $1 million. The farmers listening out there would know. But all of the things that they need, the potash, for example, the fertilizer, that's like doubled or tripled. So their costs have gone up so much. And then with the commodity prices staying low, that's a double whammy. That's bad. Now, I think that the livestock farmers have done quite well. A little better, certainly, than commodities. And there's a reason for that, and we'll talk to Blake about that a little bit later in the show.
I think there's a lot of equipment sharing, too, when it comes to farmers.
Probably.
You just can't afford, you know, that big piece anymore.
Absolutely. All right, so all of that is coming up here. Let's see. We're going to get started at 3:18 with Charles Lipson. We'll talk about some of these political things. Jasmine Crockett, I haven't even talked about this. You know, let's get into this just a little bit, because, you know, she's from here in St. Louis. I'm pretty convinced that...
So she's a St. Louis native.
Yeah, she went to MICDS. She's not stupid, Fred, okay? Now, she says dumb things, but, you know, bear with me here. Because what I think is, and this is where I feel like we play a bit of a role. I think I did it with Cori Bush. You know, I would always call Cori Bush the political gift that keeps on giving. Maybe we'll get that in the next cycle. But she really was terrible for St. Louis. You know, and I've joked, I'll go up and put yard signs. As bad as Wesley Bell is on a lot of the issues, he's not Cori Bush. And in Jasmine Crockett's position, she has to be smart enough to realize that she's not going to even come close in a Senate election in the state of Texas. But I don't think she cares about that. And I think that what's happening is the Fox people and, you know, talk show hosts like this, talk show hosts, did I just call myself a hoe? That might be more accurate than you think, Fred, right? But what happens is we give her attention because she's so damn entertaining, right?
It is not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally. It's not a criminal. It's a crime. It's not a crime, which is why they're so frustrated.
The mofo that resides in the White House has unilaterally, in my estimation, declared war.
I hate the fact that Donald Trump became president.
The orange orangutan, you know, the Timu Hitler.
And she has kind of her little thing down, right?
Yeah, come on now. And the only thing hot about him is that he is a hot mess.
Okay, that was where she called Abbott Governor Hot Wheels. Look, I don't care about that. I really don't. I think what happened, and I still hear the references to that, I don't like it when, you know, conservatives, Republicans, or Fox, when they act like Democrats. So whining about Jasmine Crockett calling Greg Abbott Governor Hot Wheels, I really don't care that she said that. That's the least of my worries. But in her video that she unveils yesterday, it's pretty funny because it's just her reacting to President Trump's words. But she's in, I guess.
Gloves have been off, and now I'm jumping into the ring. I'm asking for your support to be the next United States Senator from the greatest state of Texas.
She's not even, I don't think, that popular in Congress. She's a one-termer, I think, down in Houston, but she's got a lot of attention because of the crazy stuff that she says on a regular basis. So she's going to turn Texas blue, Fred.
Turning Texas blue is what I want to talk to y'all about today. Now, there are those that say, ain't no way we done tried it 50 kinds of ways. Let me be clear, y'all ain't never tried it the JC way.
Yeah.
We used to telling us what I can't do, but they have no idea what Crockett's crew will do.
Oh, yeah, that's her putting on her accent. So it's all fake. It's all a show. It's all for attention. It's all for book deals. She's going to run against John Cornyn.
Well, Kamala Harris got about 42% of the vote in 2024, and I bet Jasmine Crockett will not exceed that. She'll be lucky if she does. She's simply the AOC of Texas. And that may work in New York, but it won't work in Texas.
But here's what's going to happen throughout the whole process. Democrats and MSNBC and CNN, they're going to tell people the whole time, look, she's got a legit chance. They did this with Robert Francis O'Rourke, Beto O'Rourke. Remember Beto O'Rourke? Oh, he's going to be, look at this shining star coming out of Texas, and he's going to be the next United States Senator turning Texas blue, and then he's going to run for president. He's going to save the world. Well, that never happened, right? So Jasmine Crockett, I would say don't underestimate her ability to draw attention to herself, but the numbers and the math do not work out for her in Texas. And of course, then she's got the president, and she loves this. This is the thing. I think she loves it when she gets the attention.
She's definitely a low IQ person.
Crockett. Oh, man. Oh, man.
That kind of sums it up. That should be in the open to the show, Fred. So anyway, okay. That will be entertaining. I have some audio. I'm going to skip it right now, but this is awesome. You know that and I think we got to know at least one of these sheriffs in the aftermath of COVID and the big hurricane from down in Fort Myers and Captiva and Sanibel. But what we realize is that the sheriffs in Florida, man, they're different than the sheriffs around here. Well, our sheriff in St. Louis is in a jail cell in Illinois still, and I might get into that later as well. But they take charge and they kick ass. And there's this amazing story. I might get to this a little bit later this hour, where you had these kids from Philadelphia, these teenagers, they go to Dick's Sporting Goods in Polk County, Florida. And the police are called, you know, to respond to this. And it's a retail theft in progress. So the deputies are there very quickly. I think that the conventional wisdom would be maybe in Philadelphia, you can go into a Dick's Sporting Goods and no one's going to care because of their prosecutor there. It's kind of like California. So these kids are on a football team that's in town for a national tournament, right? They're charged with retail theft over $750 and conspiracy to commit retail theft. But even bigger than that, they were suspended from their scheduled championship game. And big shocker, their team lost because the eight kids decided to steal some stuff from Dick's Sporting Goods. That's really good, right? Way to go.
That Polk County sheriff is something else.
Well, hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Well, this is not necessarily off politics. It's kind of on politics. This is Congressman Tim Burkett, who is, I think he's down in Tennessee. And he says that he traditionally, he didn't do it last year, but he traditionally has a 15-minute Christmas party, right? Just 15 minutes for the staff. That's all you need. Now, listen to his reasoning here. I think he's onto something.
You go to a dadgum Christmas party, and what happens? You get cornered by somebody who's half lit, and they got wine breath, and they're cornering you in the corner over there and for 15 minutes, and that's about all you can take. So I'm thinking 15 minutes is all you need for a dadgum Christmas party. You can say your piece and go on about it.
I think that is brilliant. As someone who has not had any alcohol since 1990, I can absolutely confirm that that's what happens at Christmas parties, especially to those of us who don't drink. You get kind of spat upon when people are, you know, a few in. So I support the 15-minute Christmas party. Charles Lipson is back with us this afternoon, professor emeritus at the University of Chicago. You can find his work at charleslipson.com, amongst other locations. What do you think, Charles, about the 15-minute Christmas party? I like that idea.
Under the mistletoe.
You don't want to do anything with me under the mistletoe. I promise you that.
You know, I grew up 4 or 5 hours south of St. Louis in the Mississippi Delta, about 80 miles south of Memphis. And my family ran a little clothing store. And the happiest moment of the busiest moments of the year were the Christmas selling season. The second busiest was the day after Christmas when people brought in things to exchange.
Right.
But when the store finally closed on Christmas Eve, all the salespeople and the seamstresses and whatever would all gather in the back, and my dad had a little Christmas tree, and then he would give out presents to everyone, but then all of the other people had the Secret Santa thing where you exchange. And it was just one of my happiest memories of growing up.
That's awesome. That's very cool. I have fine Christmas memories as well. And, you know, you would find this interesting because I know that you and I started communicating when I was still on KMOX, and I know that you're familiar with the legend of that station. You know, we just celebrated, actually, it'll be December 24th, 100 years for that radio station. 100-year anniversary.
Wow.
They did a big celebration a few weeks ago.
I listened to it growing up.
Right.
It was Harry Carey.
That's right.
The Cardinals.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people, Billy Bob Thornton down in Arkansas, grew up listening to the Cardinals. That's how he became a fan. I know that, you know, that signal boomed throughout a good portion of the country. All right, let's talk a little politics here, Charles Lipson. Jasmine Crockett is going to be turning the state of Texas blue.
They tell us that Texas is red.
They are lying.
We're not. Reality is that most Texans don't get out to vote.
Now, she went to high school here, grew up here in St. Louis. She went to a fancy private school, MICDS.
Yeah.
I don't think she's dumb, all right? She's kind of manufactured herself into this new brand of AOC, whatever you want to call it. I have mixed feelings about this because she is not going to be the next United States Senator from Texas. Okay, I can say that with pretty much assurance. But I think we give her all this attention. And Charles, I think that's what she wants. It's exactly what she wants is the attention.
Well, that's true, but she's a gift to the Republicans. The Republicans are facing a very tough primary within the Republican Party in Texas. John Cornyn, who is a sitting senator, is running again, and he's running against Ken Paxton. And Paxton has a number of skeletons in his closet, but he's running as a more populist candidate, whereas the sitting senator, Cornyn, is more traditional conservative. So there will be a brutal primary there. I was surprised that that Colin Allred dropped out of the Democratic primary. He had won in a mixed district. He's a former NFL player, African American, won in a district with that wasn't a sort of heavy blue wave type district, and he would have been a strong candidate in a general election, I think. And it tells you something about the Democratic Party, I think, that candidates like that are afraid that they just can't get through the primary.
Well, let me play a little audio there from this is Colin Allred on why he dropped out.
Going through a bruising primary, and in Texas we have a runoff, and we would certainly have a runoff in this case, was not in the best interest of the state or the party. I'm friends with Jasmine, I've known her for some time. And I think it's important that we go into November with a unified party.
I don't know if there's something more to that or if he just was urged by the party faithful to say, look, she's going to get a little bit more attention, maybe has a better shot at drawing attention to some of these issues. I have no idea. But that is kind of fascinating that he got out of that as well.
I'd like to know the backstory on that. There are no party leaders on the Democratic side. There are party funders there. I mean, he may have found that he just couldn't gather the necessary funds, but it seems to me that they're just pouring money down a sinkhole if they're trying to get her elected next November. This is not to say that I think it'll be an easy run for the Republicans across the country. The midterms are always tough for the party in power, and because it's easier to mobilize the opposition, the people who are against everything, and it's a funny economy. It's the economy, stupid, and as James Carville once said, but it's a funny economy because you're seeing growth rates that are very strong, almost 4%. You saw $1 trillion spent on Black Friday for the first time ever. So you're seeing all those positive things, and yet people are all feeling this affordability crunch and all the things that everybody hears about
every
day.
It's real, and I know that President Trump is addressing that in Pennsylvania today. It'll be very interesting to see what kind of coverage and how the messaging is communicated. By the way, on the midterms, I heard this morning, and I knew this, but it was something that I was reminded of the fact, and I think it's the last 6 years. There's only two elections in the last 6 years that have gone the other way for the party in power, and that's the midterms under Bill Clinton in 1998, and let's face it, he was more conservative than any Democrat probably since. Mm-hmm. And then in 2002, under George W. Bush, the Republicans gained 8 seats. But for the most part, and that was, in the aftermath of 9/11, and right. I think that had something to do with it. But yeah, to your point, for the most part, things don't go well for the opposite party. That's just the way it tends to be historically.
Yeah, I mean, it's also interesting. You've got, in effect, a lame duck president. Now, how lame that duck is an interesting question. I thought the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene dropped out because she probably thought it would be very difficult to get through a primary if Trump was opposed to her, and he was increasingly strong, and she's been very vocal against him in recent interviews and so forth. So that indicates some strength. On the other hand, you're seeing people come up with things that look like they're a little different from what Trump is asking on the Republican side. So it'll be interesting over the next year or so to see how much weight Trump carries. That brings us to what you were saying about Pennsylvania. He's doing two things. He's trying to drive turnout by driving by saying we want to do as much as we can to keep both the Senate and the House. The Senate is especially important. And secondly, he wants to say, I'm still the leader of this party. I'm not fading away.
Yeah, and this is where things kind of, I think, get challenging into next year. I expressed frustration at the beginning of the segment because, and this is what we do. We start talking about the next cycle. We talk about the midterms. We talk about 2028. But, you know, to your point, he kind of will be a little bit of a lame duck. I don't know what can be achieved between now and next year. Even on this healthcare stuff, there's going to be some big disagreements. But going back to the point about the economy, the Republicans have not done a good job on messaging, and I think that they realize that at this point, which is why they're going to shift gears. But even having said that, Charles, as you know, you could shift gears on the messaging, maybe market this a little bit better, but that doesn't mean that messaging is going to be picked up by most of the legacy media, because they're going to look for opportunities to talk about how he's got some polling challenges right now. And he does have some polling challenges right now with popularity. But again, that all kind of circles back, if you dig into the numbers and the data, to the economy, and it makes sense.
Right. Well, I think that's right. We're in the midst of a great tectonic change in the way that our economy is working. And those are always disruptive. They were disruptive during the 1890s when big industry came in, the big steel mills and all of that. And that led basically to a long-term victories for Republicans. The Democrats were the populists at the time, and they were really out of power with the exception of Woodrow Wilson until the Great Depression. And then after the Great Depression, even though there were, had been occasional Republican presidents between Franklin Roosevelt and Ronald Reagan, they all kind of governed within the broad purview of the Roosevelt coalition. And what you're seeing now is that Trump is really undoing that. He is really making fundamental changes, and I think that's what's going to be on the ballot.
I got to let you go because I'm out of time, but I want to mention this because you mentioned steel. I don't know if you heard about this story. They're going to refire up one of the blast furnaces at the steel plant in Granite City, and 400 jobs will be added. How about that?
That's really amazing, and good luck to those workers and to all the people who will be opening up grocery stores and diners and all the rest that go with opening a big plant like that.
My guess is that the president will mention Granite City when he does his event this afternoon. Charles Lipson, always great to have you on. I really appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
I always enjoy talking.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Well, I've spent a good portion of my career, candidly, mocking and making fun of the climate fearmongers out there. And it's taken a long time, but finally, I think some things are coming together to indicate, well, first of all, those of us who've been talking about this for a long time have been completely vindicated. But some of the stuff in the crazy, you know, you saw Bill Gates backing down on this, some other folks. I don't know if the LA Times has decided that maybe there is an other perspective, because years ago they made a very bold statement that said there is no denying climate change and that we're causing it and that we have to do something about it. We will not, you know, be printing any op-eds from an opposite opinion, which they didn't. But Matt Ridley, who's written about this for a long time, and he wrote about it in The Spectator, said about the global warming scare, no scare grew as big or lasted as long. And he says, I first wrote a doom-laden article for The Economist about carbon dioxide emissions trapping heat in the air in 1987, nearly 40 years ago. I soon realized the effect was real, but the alarm was overdone, that the feedback effects were exaggerated in the models. The greenhouse effect was likely to be a moderate inconvenience rather than an existential threat. For this blasphemy, I was abused, canceled, blacklisted, called a denier, and generally deemed evil. And I think some of that is true with our next guest as well. Dr. Roy Spencer is with us, principal research scientist at the University of Alabama, Huntsville. He used to work at NASA. He's got some different opinions when it comes to the climate, not in what used to be the mainstream. Roy, how are you this afternoon? Thanks for joining me on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, Mark, good to be with you again. How are you enjoying global warming up there in Missouri?
Well, we've actually, you know, what's funny is we've had a real winter last year for the first time in a while. And then, as you know, we just got snow. There's still snow on the ground here in, you know, end of November, beginning of December. That does not happen. Now, it used to happen, right? I don't know what happened. I guess we've turned everything around and we're all okay.
Yeah, apparently. that article you mentioned about Matt Ridley and The Spectator that came out yesterday, I would encourage everyone to read that. It's really well written.
It is very well written, and I wanted your perspective on it because, look, I don't know that you've been, you know, picked on as much as he has over the years or called names, but obviously your perspective has made you a bit of a person that's a target. You know, you get accused of being in the pockets of the oil and gas industry, even though there's no evidence of that whatsoever, but it doesn't stop the climate alarmist by, you know, taking shots at folks like you, Matt Ridley, and others.
Yeah, that's right. And you're right. I think we're gradually being vindicated in our views. And, you know, I knew this was going to all fall apart eventually, partly because, you know, we've been warned about Armageddon for years. Well, for decades. I mean, this goes back like 40 years. And they've been forecasting gloom and doom forever. You know, that we only had 5 years left. We only had 10 years left. You know, every 10 years, we only have 10 years left. And I think the public has just grown weary of the alarmism because they really don't see much change at all, other than, you know, there's weather, right?
Yeah.
We have cold snaps, we have heat waves, and we always have. And yeah, there's been a very slow warming trend, but not enough, like I've said before, not enough for anybody to notice in their lifetime.
So where does that leave us right now? Because obviously you have an administration in the White House that has backed off a lot of these things that the previous administration was interested in. I mentioned Bill Gates. That was fascinating. I mean, some of the folks that have been most vocal on some of this stuff are finally coming around and saying different things. And to your point about how many, you know, decades it's been out there, I have a report from The Guardian in 2004 and then another one from The New York Times in literally 1994 talking about the beaches all being gone by this time, things happening within 25 years, all this apocalyptic predictions, which have never come true. Now, Roy, as we've both agreed that some of this warming is real and the climate is changing and we probably need to look at adaptation. I wish we would have looked at adaptation for the last 40 years instead of scaring the hell out of people.
Yeah, I agree. The trouble with the media is, like Matt Ridley says, they love exaggeration. I mean, it used to be only the National Enquirer would come out with crazy stuff, but now the mainstream media comes out with crazy stuff. They don't make it up. It's just that out of thousands and thousands of scientists, they can find a handful who are just crazy. You know, and so they write a story around that. You know, respected scientist claims we only have 5 years left. The right. Seas are going to rise by 10 feet, blah, 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 blah. And they love it because, you know, it brings in, well, it brings in readers, brings in, generates clicks, it brings in ad revenue.
Well, and then even in the situation, this is what I find kind of, you know, interesting right now. You look back, you mentioned Al Gore. I don't know how anyone, and maybe this is what's happening, but how can anyone with a straight face, you take the politics out of it, just look at the so-called science, and you look at the predictions from 40 years ago or 30 years ago or 20 years ago. You look at the movie that he did that scared the hell out of people, right, that talked about how we'd have, you know, sea level rise of up to 20 feet, you know, 19 and 9 inches. In 2009, he said there was a 75% chance that all of the ice in the Arctic Ocean would disappear by 2014. That didn't happen in 2014. It hasn't happened in 2024, 2025. So all these things. But you still don't have the media kind of circling back and saying, hey, wait a second. What happened to all those predictions, right? And then this poor Greta Thunberg is abused by her parents, and she's been out there for more than a decade talking about the climate, you know, not being here. And that's kind of failed on her part as well.
Yeah, I agree. I guess I'm kind of surprised that this is going away, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised because, you know, like I said, eventually people are going to realize, hey, things really aren't changing. But also, I think more and more people are realizing how expensive it is to fix this problem. You know, the wind and solar energy still only make up 6% of global energy consumption, you know. Yes, wind and solar is growing partly because of subsidies. You know, we're paying for it without asking to. But even at that, it's not keeping up with the growth in the demand for electricity. And now with AI coming along and the extra electricity that requires, there's no way that can be met through renewables.
In Matt Ridley's column, he says, switching to renewable energy made no difference. Literally, here's the data. The world added 9,000 terawatt hours per year of energy consumption from wind and solar in the past decade, but 13,000 from fossil fuels. And he adds, not that wind and solar save much carbon dioxide anyway, their machinery being made with coal and their intermittency being backed up by fossil fuels. By the way, I don't know, do you watch the show Landman by any chance with Billy Bob Thornton?
I watched the first two episodes and I really couldn't get into it nearly as much as Yellowstone.
It's a little soap opery, there's no doubt, but there is this epic rant in, I don't know, episode 6 or 7 of the first season where he brings this lawyer out to these, you know, wind turbines and just lays out the facts about wind energy and how that's been a complete failure. It's really, I think, something. I'll try to find it and share it with you because it went a little viral and people got a kick out of it. I mean, he did the job of what some of you folks do on a regular basis. He was just doing it in a Billy Bob way, if you know what I mean. Not that you're not as cool as Billy Bob Thornton, Roy, but if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I saw that. I mean, I think people sent me clips of it.
Yeah.
I saw that. It was a little, I don't know.
A little over the top. Yeah, no, but it's a TV show, but it was still pretty effective the way that he delivered that. All right, Roy Spencer, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. I hope all is well down there in Alabama. Have a great holiday.
You're welcome.
All right, yeah, take care.
You're welcome, Mark. You too.
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier. These sheriffs in Florida, they're very unique. This guy's name is Grady Judd. He's the sheriff in Polk County, Florida, and he's going to tell you about a trip for 8 Philadelphia area football players. These are teenagers, high school players. They Ubered to a Dick's Sporting Goods, and they swiped more than $2,000 in gear before they were caught. So here's the story. This is really good audio from Grady Judd.
First and foremost, I want to compliment the Cocoa Tigers. They won the championship after finishing the season 15-0, and they beat the Thoroughbreds 26-6. And the Thoroughbreds were from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So, Cocoa Tigers, you did it the right way. That's teamwork with great young men doing the right thing.
Yeah, because as he will tell you, what happened was is the not-so-great young men stole everything from a Nike men's club fleece hoodie valued at $50 to an Oakley Prism Clear football shield at $19 to a Battle Binky Diamond Oxygen football lip guard at $29.99. They were very specific on what they wanted.
Now I want to introduce you to eight of the thoroughbreds. And here they are. You look at the thoroughbreds, and you find out, what were they doing? What were they doing on Saturday morning? Well, let me tell you what they were doing. They Ubered from where they were staying. They had come from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, down to the Dick's Sporting Goods in Posner Park. Not only did they Uber down there to shop, they had no intentions of paying for their product.
So this is just awesome when you hear the details here.
Came into the store in two groups, and they began to systematically steal product. And that's exactly what they did. They stole, and they stole, and they stole, and they stole, and they stole. As we've said before, you can't go any place, any time, that you're not on a camera.
Yeah, my guess is these kids, this is a theory, I have no idea. My guess is they've done this in Philadelphia, where they have a prosecutor that's not unlike Kim Gardner or, you know, what they had in California. So they go to this mall, and some of the things that they steal here, very specific, as I indicated, the Battle Sports Science Adult Chrome Oxygen Lip Guard, the Shock Doctor Warheads Flavored Max Airflow Lip Guard, the Battle Binky Iridescent Oxygen Lip Guard. These are all very pricey, too. The Shock Doctor Max Airflow Jolly Rancher Flavored Lip Guard. They needed lip guards for the damn game. The poor kids just needed lip guards, right?
So Dick's Sporting Goods knows that they're stealing because they're watching this systematic, organized theft ring called a football team. Now, not only did they steal 47 items, but ostensibly they may have cost their team the championship and the football game, because I don't know if these all were starters or not, but I can tell you that we were finishers. We arrested them.
So, backing up my theory just a little bit, this is interesting. And think about this as a parent, right? Because the sheriff said that none of these kids, and they were all 14 and 15, so they knew that they were under 16 and they can get away with this stuff and be charged as juveniles. That's one of the things that the crime rings do, right? They sent the kids, they send the 13, 14-year-old kids, especially if they can slip through windows and stuff like that. I had my home in the city robbed specifically that way by a 14-year-old kid that was able to slip through the basement window. But Grady said that none of the kids apologized, and this is even worse. When their coach was notified of the arrest, he wasn't outraged. He didn't want to find out what happened. He didn't want to punish these kids. He allegedly begged deputies not to arrest them, and he became defensive, and he said, "Don't you have anything better to do?" And Grady Judd said, listen, and this is where my theory about the difference in Philadelphia and Florida has to be present. Listen, I don't know how you do things in Philadelphia, but in Polk County, Florida, we'd lock you up for stealing, for being a thief. And that's exactly what happened here. So, yeah, I think they did cost their school a championship because they got smoked and all those kids had to sit down on the bench. But I cannot believe, man, I hope that that's just, you know, erroneous fake media reporting, that the coach of the team was not pissed off at the kids, but he was pissed off at the deputies for arresting them when they stole all these things. And I'm telling you, you know, it wasn't one of those, maybe this is what hurt them. If you look at the list that I was reading from, it's almost like, you know, you see these crime rings, they go into some stores. This has happened a lot in LA before they changed the law out there a couple of years ago, but they just smash and grab. They grab anything that they possibly could. In this particular situation, it was very specific. They were looking for things that they could use, like fleece hoodies and the lip guards and the football shields, all these things they seemingly needed for their high school football team that apparently they couldn't get from their school. So it almost seems, and I haven't seen the entire video, that they were in there for a long time shopping and just shoving things into bags that they had no intention to pay for. So we'll see what the criminal justice system in Florida brings to those eight kids. We'll have Ethan's news. Sue is off today. today. So Ethan Hanford taking over at 4:20. Matt Pauley is going to join us after the bottom of the hour. He's down at the winter meetings in Orlando, Florida. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened today. Big deal for Kyle Schwarber re-signing with the Phillies. And then just about the Cardinals situation with the total rebuild. So Matt joins us at 4:30. Blake Hurst, who is a corn, soybean, and greenhouse farmer in Tarkio, Missouri, at 5:32, reacting to the president's subsidies for farmers.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.